Good morning, everyone. Welcome to our service this morning at Emmanuel United Reformed Church, part of the partnership of the Swindon churches, which includes Bath Road and Christchurch. And we also remember our brother church in Highworth, United Reformed Church. Our service this morning will be led by our Reverend Jonathan Edwards, who we welcome. Jonathan has been a minister of some 40 years standing and has enjoyed retirement for the past 4 years. He started off studying law at Oxford University, but was then guided to be a Baptist minister and has loved that occupation ever since, I think it's fair to say. Recently, he has a pretty full CV, as you will probably understand from his years of service. In 1998, he was appointed General Secretary of the Baptist and Mentors Christian Leaders, serves as a trustee of a number of Christian charities, and indeed is currently the minister at Central Church in Swindon. You're very welcome, and we look forward to hearing your delivery. The notices are pretty much as you have on the weekly news, except to say that our reader this morning is, my God, here we go. Sorry, what's your name again? Sometimes when I get up here, it just goes blank, and it's not an age thing. However, there are two separate notices. The first one is from Wally. There is a concert being held at Christchurch on Saturday the 21st of June at 7 p.m. An entry for your diary, if you can make it, featuring the winner of Voice Ukraine. If you're interested in supporting this event, tickets cost £10 each. Please see Wally for further details. All monies raised will be used to send vital supplies to Ukraine. I made one other note somewhere. Jeff has asked me to tell you that following this service, there will be a church meeting in the hall. And Jeff's intention is to make it as brief as possible, but you are all, please, invited to attend. I will now have a few moments quiet while I light the Christ candle and the peace candle while we prepare ourselves for worship. One other thing, like I say, the mind goes blank. There is a note on the weekly news about Amnesty International and our support for one particular person on that note. He is facing a very uncertain and short future, and if you intend to take any action, the time is now. Thank you.
Oh. Thank you, Mike, for your welcome. It's good to be with you, leading you in worship today on this Trinity Sunday. Praise the Lord, all you nations. Extol him, all you peoples, for great is his love towards us, and the faithfulness of the Lord endures forever. Praise the Lord. We stand to sing together. Let all the world in every corner sing. Number 114. Come to God in prayer. Let us all pray. Lord God, our Father, we come to worship you this day. We thank you for the glory of your created work. We worship you, for life is a gift from you, and this day is a day of grace that you in love have given to us. We thank you for the beauty and grandeur of this world. Thank you for this beautiful time of the year, all the ways in which we can enjoy your gift of creation. But Lord, most of all, we have come to thank you today because in your love you sent Jesus Christ into the world to be our Saviour. We thank you that Jesus came to show us the way of life. Thank you that out of his love for us, he was willing to die for us on the cross. We praise you that on the third day you raised him from death. And so we meet together on this, the first day of the week, to celebrate resurrection, to celebrate the life of Jesus here with us today. Father, we worship you because in your love, when Jesus returned to your right hand in glory, you sent to us your Holy Spirit. We pray that we may know the power of your Holy Spirit here with us today, that we may know his inspiration and guidance as we worship you together. Father, Son, and Spirit, we worship you. We pray that we may know your triune blessing upon us. But loving Father, as we come into your holy presence, we recognize that in so many ways we have let you down in our thoughts, our words, and our deeds. Forgive us, Lord, for those good words that we could so easily have spoken but which we failed to speak. Forgive us for those loving actions that we could have performed but we chose not to. Lord, in your mercy, forgive us for all those ways in which we have lived cheaply, for those ways in which we have neglected to live as your people of truth. Lord, in your mercy, forgive us. We thank you for the promise of your word that if we confess our sins, you are faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all that is wrong. Lord, we claim your forgiveness now. We thank you for drawing us together this morning. Thank you for the blessing of belonging to your church. And we now unite with your church around the world as we say together the family prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. We come together expecting that God will speak with us. And so we sing together number 613, 613. Lord, speak to me that I may speak in living echoes of thy tone. 613.
Thus says the Lord, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. For your sake, I will send to Babylon and break down all the bars, and the shouting of the Chaldeans will be turned to lamentations. I am the Lord, your Holy One, the Creator of Israel, your King. Thus says the Lord, who makes a way in the sea, a path in the mighty waters, who brings out chariot and horse army and warrior. They lie down. They cannot rise. They are extinguished, quenched like a wick. Do not remember the former things or consider the things of old. I am about to do a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. The wild animals will honor me, the jackals and the ostriches, for I give water in the wilderness, rivers in the desert, to give drink to my chosen people, the people whom I formed for myself, so that they might declare my praise. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you so much. The choir will now sing Look at the World. The words and music are by Sir John Rutter.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. That was wonderful. Perhaps a few things to say to you before I share my message with you. First of all, to say I am retired, which means I'm busier than ever. You know how it works. That was the laughter of experience, wasn't it? Yeah. I'm a writer. Well, I write things. And I write Bible notes for Premier Radio, sort of a daily note. And I just received copies this week of July, August, September, the next 3 months. So I'm commissioned to write 400 words per day, and they're contained in this. And it's free, and there are copies at the entrance, and if you would find that helpful, then you are more than welcome to take a copy. It's great to be here. I feel very much a part of you in many ways. I'm a Baptist minister, so I'm not the real thing. But but from the beginning of my ministry, I've actually been a minister of URC churches, interestingly, because my first church was an LEP, a local ecumenical project, as we called them in those dark days, in Suffolk. And so I was very much part of the URC then. We were Anglican, Baptist, URC. And then in local ministry, I ministered in Orpington, in Kent, where St. John's, just up the road, was a very fine URC church. We had very, very close relationships there. And then I became superintendent of the South West, which is like your provincial moderator, and Ray Adams, the provincial moderator at the time, became a very particular friend, for which I'm grateful. I then became general secretary of our national union, 2,000 churches, and David Cornick was my friend at that time, your URC general secretary. So I feel that throughout my ministry, the URC has had a very big part of my life. And now here, for the last 4 years, I've been the minister of Central Church, part-time, because I'm retired, as you remember. I have to say that in case my wife listens in. But it's a privilege to work with them. And if you don't know about Central Church, in the 1970s, five churches in the centre of town came together. As the centre of town was redeveloped and a number of the churches were pulled down, the churches got together more and more closely to form Central Church, made up of the Baptist Tabernacle, which was on the site of where we now are, the Methodist Central Hall, and then the three churches which came together to form the URC, Churches of Christ, Congregational, and Presbyterian. So that's Central Church, and we live in what we've chosen to call the Pilgrim Centre, is by the town hall, by the library, by the cenotaph, so right in the middle of town. And it is a privilege to work with them. For those of you who don't know our buildings, you're missing something very special, because they're amazing buildings. We have a 60-seater coffee shop on the ground floor. The first floor, we have a 200-seater auditorium. And then the other two floors, we have meeting rooms and offices. And it is quite a splendid place to work from. When I joined them 4 years ago, they felt a bit overwhelmed by the buildings, to be honest. And a number of people said to me, why don't we hand the keys back? It just felt like too much of a challenge. But since those days, and since COVID and all of that, we have found new life. One of the things we're able to do, because we have the coffee shop on the ground floor, is we work closely with Big Breakfast Plus, an organisation that offers breakfast to the food poor and the homeless, and they welcome every day 80 to 100 people. Quite phenomenal. There was one day in the winter when 133 people were welcomed for breakfast. It is a phenomenal charity. 26,000 meals were offered last year. It blows your mind. There are about 85 volunteers, and we just work in partnership with that charity, and very gladly so. You may have heard recently they got the King's Award for volunteering, which was a great encouragement. We also have another group called Alternative Angels that offer a hot evening meal on Monday and Tuesday evenings. As a church, we're busy, we welcome lots of different groups to use our premises. Every Monday, just bear this in mind if you're in the middle of town, every Monday between 10 and 1 in the morning, we as a church have a community cafe, and we welcome dozens of people, often 40 or 50 people in the morning, for free tea and coffee and cake, and we just see that as our expression of welcome to the centre of town. Recently appointed a centre coordinator, which is great, to help us to coordinate the many things we're doing. And like you, we welcome other churches as well to make use of our buildings. We have an African church that meets after us on a Sunday and a Brazilian church that meets on a Saturday. So we're busy, and I think we now know quite clearly why we're in business. And we're also looking forward to the appointment of a Methodist deacon to work with us and with Bath Road from from next September, because they're Methodists. So that's a little bit about us, but I live in Newbury, so I'm really not the real thing, but it's my privilege to track up the M4 a couple of times a week to be here. Well, our reading today was, as you heard, from Isaiah 43, and in this very important chapter, we learn two important things about God. Firstly, not surprised to learn it, he's the God of salvation. We hear that he's the God who transforms situations. So we have this very powerful, poetic picture of the Exodus. It's a wonder. I love these words, just sheer poetry, describing this amazing moment when God set his people free from their time in Egypt. This is what the Lord says: he who made a way through the sea, a path through the mighty waters, who drew out the chariots and horses, the army and reinforcements together, and they lay there, never to rise again, extinguished, snuffed out like a wick. Wonderful words. So here's a picture of God at work, a God who brings salvation, God who lets his people know the taste of liberty and freedom after their hundreds of years of bondage in Egypt. So that's brilliant, you know, God of salvation, let's sing another hymn, you know, it's great celebratory stuff. And then it looks as if we've got a misprint, because the next thing he says is, forget the former things. You think, it can't be real, you can't forget. This is the Exodus, God's done this amazing salvation act, but he says, forget the former things. Don't dwell on the past. So what's going on here? How can we forget what God has done in doing such an amazing thing? But the reason he's saying it is because God is not just the God of salvation. He's also a God of creation. And because he's a God of creation, he's always acting creatively. Now, whatever your understanding of creation may be, whether you're one of those, and there aren't a lot left, who think that the world was formed on October the 23rd, 404 BC, at 9 o'clock in the morning, if you're one of those, that's lovely. Or if you think that the world was formed 4.6 billion years ago, in a kind of way, it doesn't really matter. God did it. We celebrate the fact that God is the God of creation. But whenever you think God did creation, the fact is he's still the God of creation. He's still acting creatively. And that's what the writer is saying. Of course it was wonderful that God brought the people out of Egypt. Of course the Exodus is fantastic. Of course we want to celebrate what God has done. But what the writer is saying is God is up to new things. God's a God of creation. He's not stuck in the past. And that's a challenge for us, isn't it? Because it's easy for us to get stuck in the past. All of us. When I was a student, I worked with Upper Holloway Baptist Church in in London, near the Archway, if you know that part of London. And the church could contain 1,300 people. And yeah, I can tell you dates like this. We're talking about the 1970s when I was there. But there were still people in the congregation who could remember the 1930s. And there were people who could remember that there were days, many days, when if you didn't get there for the evening service early, you might not get a seat, because there were only 1,300 seats. Amazing. And I have to say, the memory of those days were burdensome to the people in the 1970s, because then there were only a few dozen people who met. And the hearing about their past felt like an accusation that somehow they'd done things wrong. And the vision that people had was that one day we must get back to that church, 1,300 people being full. But I need to say, I don't believe God does put the clock back. I don't think he's a God who resets time. God's a God of creativity. He does new things. He does things in new ways. When I looked after the Baptist churches in the Southwest, which was a wonderful, wonderful thing to do, I had churches in Devon and Cornwall. Who could choose better? Well, it's with Wiltshire, but anyway. But it was a wonderful experience, and I loved being with those churches. And I came up with a sort of understanding of sort of pop church psychology, which was, I felt, when I met with a group of church leaders, I could work out what their golden age was. And you'd sense that their vision for the church was to get the church back to how it was in 1968, or maybe 1973. But there was a date in their minds. So if only we could get the church back to how it used to be that date. Often I think it was when their children were young, but I don't know. But there was a date in their mind where if only we could put the clock back to how things were. But we have to say, that isn't the sort of God we're worshipping. He's not the God who puts the clock back. He's the God of creativity. He's the God who does new things. We live in a fast-changing world, and God knows all about that. The world in which we live is so different from how things used to be. When I left my last church as a local minister in 1998, it's amazing to say we didn't even have email. And you think, my goodness, how do you run a church without email? Do you know, we did. Extraordinary to say. But it's so transformed our lives. We didn't have access to the World Wide Web. Gosh, where did you get information? When I looked after the Southwest, Ray Adams and friends and the work down there, I didn't have sat-nav. How we would love to think, how much easier life would be if we had, but you do. The world has changed, hasn't it? Out of all this, we could hardly think of how to describe the world today to ourselves of 30 years ago. It's changed so much. But that's our God who moves with us, a God who doesn't ask us to put the clock back, doesn't say what we've now got to do is get back to how things used to be. Our God is a God of creativity. Our God's a God of new things, very new things. And that's what we read about in this passage. Forget the former things. Don't dwell on the past. Don't spend your life thinking, if only we could get back to how things were in 1970. You forget all that stuff. See, he says, this is God speaking. I'm doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I'm making a way in the desert and streams in the wasteland. I don't know if you know Israel well, that we get to see quite a bit of it, don't we, these days. But you only have to go a few yards out of Jerusalem, and you're into rocky desert, effectively. It's forbidding countryside. I know the Israelis have done amazingly with their irrigation schemes, but you're talking about rocky desert. Now meet our God. He's the God who makes rivers turn up in deserts. He's the one who transforms our present experience. And so, as we worship God today, I just want to remind you, God's not a God who puts clocks back. But also we need to say he's a God on whom we must put no limits. We mustn't limit God to what is convenient to us. Time and again, that's what people have tried to do. They've tried to limit God, but you can't limit God. Think of Albania. Interesting instance. In the 1980s, not that long ago, was declared to be an atheistic state, and Enver Hoxha was convinced that all religion had been extinguished in Albania. I've read many things about Albania in those years, and there was no known Christian in Albania. Look at Albania now, where there are thriving Christian communities throughout the town. Throughout the land. I've got friends who've been working there for many years. Look at China. China's interesting, very interesting. China has tried in a very deliberate way to snuff out all religion and all Christianity. During the Cultural Revolution, 1966 to 76, thousands of Christians were imprisoned, subjected to humiliation. But the church was merely driven underground. Since that time, it's grown enormously. It's estimated that there may be as many as 100 million Christians in China today. Do you hear what I'm saying? Don't put a limit on God. Let's not come up with our rules or our expectations. God's at work. God's the God of miracles. He's the one who turns up rivers in the middle of deserts. That's our God. In our own country, there are many places which look discouraging. What I've done since I was General Secretary of the Baptist Union nationally, I've had 12 years since that time, and I have deliberately worked with churches that have been discouraged. Where there are churches going really well, that's fine. I'll leave them to other people. They can have fun doing those. But I felt it was appropriate to use my years of experience to work with churches that are not going very well. And one of them was a church in the middle of Reading, right in the middle of Reading. Similar in lots of ways to the situation here. Modern buildings, lovely elderly congregation. Whilst I was with them, we never had a congregation as large as 20. We're always normally in the teens somewhere, but never as many as 20. During COVID, the ministers who we had appointed used all that they could to make relationships with other groups in the middle of the town. They worked amongst asylum seekers. They worked amongst refugees. They gave hospitality when the opportunity was there as COVID restrictions were eased. They opened the doors to other groups of people. Go there on a Sunday now. It is phenomenal. There are about 150 people there on a Sunday morning, and it doesn't look the same as it used to do. Doesn't look the same. I have to say, and I rejoice and celebrate and honour those older people who are still there, because it's a different world. It's a different church. If you go to the door, I love this, and I was there not long ago, they have hard copy of the service, the whole service, because there are people using so many different languages. So at the door, you can actually pick up a copy of the whole service, including sermon, in English, which you might find helpful, or in Farsi, if you're Iranian, and find that helpful, or in Mandarin Chinese. And it's just amazing. You know, this tiny little discouraged church going apparently nowhere. And all I'm saying is God's at work, and God's a God who does new things. So words of warning. Don't try and put the clock back. Don't think that God is trying to turn things into how they used to be. He's not. Don't put a limit on God. Don't say this is all that God can do, because he can do more and he delights to do more. But I'd say finally this to you. We need to open our eyes to the new ways in which God is working. To be open to the messages we were hearing last Sunday, as we celebrated the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, to be open to the renewal of God's Spirit. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, Paul reflected on his ministry, and he'd been going through a particularly difficult time. He knew what it was to be hard pressed on every side, but he said he wasn't defeated. And on two occasions in that chapter, wonderful chapter, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, he says this: we do not lose heart. And you think, well, Paul, you've given us every logical reason for losing heart. Things have clearly been going really badly in your ministry. You've been under extreme pressure, you've been suffering, and so on. But he says, we do not lose heart. And then he added this: though outwardly, he says, we are wasting away, yet inwardly, we're being renewed day by day. I love that. Though outwardly, we are wasting away, yet inwardly, we're being renewed day by day. The fact of the matter is, outwardly, we are wasting away. And I offer myself just as a simple visual aid of this process. You know, we're wasting away. That's what's happening. We're getting older. Our bodies are not the bodies that they were 10, 20 years ago. They're not. Outwardly, we're wasting away. But inwardly, he said, this is the exciting bit, we are being renewed day by day. Friends, I encourage you with the thought that God is constantly at work, constantly renewing us, constantly making us new by his Spirit to enable us to be the people he wants us to be. Jesus used parables, and I like parables, I like stories. You know, we understand stories, don't we? Can I offer you one of my own parables? When I started out in ministry, so we're now back to the 70s, I was asked for a short while to look after some village churches on Northamptonshire. I didn't know Northamptonshire, but it's a lovely county. For those of you who have not bumped into Northamptonshire, it's a lovely, largely rural county. And I looked after some village churches there. I had a girlfriend at the time, wasn't married. I was a girlfriend, and she had, and this dates me, I know, but an Austin A40, a red one. And often she very generously let me use her Austin A40, but not always. So somebody in the church said, well, I've got an old moped, perhaps you could use that. And I'd never used a moped before, but I thanked them, because you would, and started to use this little thing, which was very, very helpful. And so I went round these villages in my moped called Toby, which reveals I'm not very technically minded. Anyway, it's Toby. And we'd go out together, and it was fine. It was helpful to have the moped. But came the day, kickstarted it, nothing, nothing. Kickstarted it again, nothing. Kickstarted it many times, nothing. Kicked it in other places, still nothing. Remonstrated with it, as you would, nothing. And I thought, oh, what am I going to do, this flipping thing? Why did I take it in the first place? And I thought, I'll go and see Dave, because Dave works in the garage, and he's always got a smile, and he's a nice man, he comes to the church. So I pushed this wretched machine. And if you don't know about Northamptonshire, it's quite hilly, actually. And so I got to Dave's garage, and Dave comes out with a big smile on his face, as he would, you know, made me feel worse. But and he looked, I can still see the moment now. He said, oh, John, what are you doing? Oh, it's nice to see you. How are you? Yeah, he said, oh, the moped won't work. And I can still see this moment when he looks at the machine, and I suddenly realize what he's looking at. He's looking at the petrol tap, which is just underneath the seat. And some of you have got there very quickly. I hadn't turned the petrol on. I had a very good quantity of petrol, a very adequate quantity of petrol, but I just hadn't turned it on. And so couldn't go anywhere. Anyway, obviously, I thanked him generously for his insight and drove off. Here's my parable. We have the power of the Holy Spirit. We are, crude illustration, we're sitting on the power. We have the power of the Spirit. And the question is, are we turning that power on? Are we saying, yes, Holy Spirit, we want you to renew us. We want you to give us these insights. We want your power. We want you to direct us. May God bless you as a church. May God give you strength and encouragement in all that you do. But may you know what it is to allow the Holy Spirit to renew you and strengthen you day by day. Let me pray with you. Father, we thank you for the gift of your Holy Spirit. We thank you that you are a God who wants to give the power to us that we need to keep going, to be doing a good work for you. Lord, we worship you because you are the God of creation. We thank you for this amazing world that you've made, but Lord, remind us constantly that you're a God of creativity, constantly doing new things as we trust ourselves to you. Forgive us for those moments when we thought we were supposed to put the clock back. Help us, Lord, to come to you, the God of salvation, and know that you are constantly working in new ways. Lord, fill us with your Holy Spirit and enable us to be your people of truth and honor and strength and encouragement to this town, because we come in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Let's invite the Holy Spirit to touch us and to bless us as we sing together, O Breath of Life, come sweeping through us. 302, number 302.
In our intercessions this morning, let us pray for our Father in heaven on this day when fathers are being remembered and honoured throughout the world. We honour you, the Father from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named. We pray for world peace. We see the terror and atrocities of war through news media. It all seems endless. We pray for peaceful solutions, especially where none seems possible. We think of the wars we know about, Israel and Palestine, Israel and Iran, Ukraine and Russia, the civil war in Myanmar. The list goes on. Oh Lord, help us to be mindful of the many wars throughout the world that do not come to our attention. We pray for the refugees and so many that have lost hope of a peaceful life. And we give thanks for peacekeepers, wherever they may be. Guide all those in power to seek peaceful solutions to conflicts, known or unknown to us. Lord, in your mercy.
Amen.
We pray for our planet. Heavenly Father, you have taught us through your servant, St. Francis, that all creation is your handiwork. Grant us your grace that we may exercise wide stewardship of this earth. Tread lightly upon it and cherish its resources, that our children may enjoy its riches throughout all generations, and your name be glorified through all you have made. Lord, in your mercy. We pray for the church. For our churches here in the partnership of Old Town and our sister church in Highworth. Heavenly Father, give thanks for the life of your church and all its activities and meetings. Bless our minister Robert and all elders. Give them wisdom, strength and a loving heart. Help them to guide us in your way and protect them from burnout and temptation. May they always seek your will in all they do. Lord, in your mercy.
Amen.
And we pray for those who are sick and suffering. We take a moment's silence to remember those known to us who are ill and suffering, whether in body, mind, or spirit. Heavenly Father, we pray that you will lay your healing hands upon all those who are sick. We beg you to have compassion on those who are suffering so that they may be delivered from their circumstances. Lord, in your mercy.
Amen.
And we pray for the departed. We remember those we have known who have died, and those who are mourning their loss. We commend unto the hands of God, the life giver, each one. We pray for comfort in our sadness and strength in what lies ahead of us. God, the giver of life that is eternal, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And we pray for ourselves. Loving God, thank you for dads and children and for the joy of family life. Be with those who are grieving because they have no father. Be close to those who are struggling because they have no children. Be near to those that are sad because they are far apart from those they love. Let your love be present in every home. O Lord, give us thankful hearts that we may see all the gifts we share and every blessing. All things come from thee. Amen.
Thank you so much for those sensitive prayers. We worship God as we take up our offering.
Thank you.
We stand in your presence to thank you for every good gift that you have given to us. Thank you for the gift of our lives, gift of our possessions. Lord, for every good gift, we give you thanks. Receive our worship and our praise. And Lord, may these gifts be so wisely used that your kingdom will be extended not just here in Swindon, but throughout the world. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, be with us all evermore. Amen. Thank you very much. We conclude our worship. We praise God for his goodness to us, and we look to the future with confidence as we sing together. Lord, for the years your love has kept and guided, urged and inspired us, cheered us on our way. 603. So may the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit rest and abide with each one of us this Father's Day and forevermore. Amen.